Good morning, church.
Buenos dias, iglesia. Which rock do you choose this morning? Which rock do you choose? The rock of the Lord or the rock of wrath? Because the Bible will talk about both. And because I want this sermon to have a happy ending, let's begin talking about the rock of wrath. What is the rock of wrath? I guess it's my own name for something that I discovered in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. And I see here in this chapter a lot about rocks, but not in a positive fashion. Before reading this chapter, a bit of background, God is judging the people. Revelation is about God judging the people. I believe it's talking about the people of ancient Rome. The people who killed Christians, the people who put Christ on the cross. I believe Rome's being punished for these things. But please understand that God judges people the same way. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. Therefore, God blesses people or he punishes people the same way. So one can read Revelation and believe that the wrath that we're seeing here is a prototype of how God always does wrath. In other words, what you read in Revelation is not just for Rome. It will be for the entire world. With that in mind, please read Revelation chapter 6 with me, verses 15 through 17, to see about this rock of wrath. Chapter 6 of Revelation, verses 15 through 17. Then everyone, it says in the NLT version, then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, that's pretty much everybody, they all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks. Get this, they cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to survive? Did you hear that? Did you read that? As we see today, the richest and the most powerful are often opposed to God. They think they can beat God or they don't need God. But a day will come when God will bring his wrath upon the world to such an extent, with so much power and leaving them no place to hide, that they will go to caves and mountains and ask rocks to fall upon them. Rocks. Can you imagine being so afraid of God that you find comfort in falling rocks? God's wrath is so powerful, they would much rather be in the discomfort of cold rock, to have rocks pushed against their skin, maybe even having rocks crush them somewhat, than deal with the wrath of God. I don't ever want to be in that place where rocks are my comfort. But this is what happens when people have made the wrong choice. There will be a time when you're given to repent. That time is right now, by the way. Right now, if you're able to think for yourselves, we can repent from an old way of life. We can repent from our sins. But there will come a day when it will be too late, when the wrath of God comes. These people could have chosen a different kind of rock, however. Long ago, they could have chosen the rock that was God. But they chose the wrong rock. And now they're stuck with the wrong rock. That wrong rock is their only comfort. Now they have to rest their heads on cold stone. Gravel is their blanket, and their ceiling is hard darkness. Again, imagine a wrath so complete that hard rock is the best comfort you can find. I just said that God judges people the same exact way. God is no respecter of persons. In Revelation, I believe God is specifically dealing with the people of ancient Rome. But let's look back in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, where God is judging Israel for their sins. And you're going to see a very similar thing because God, again, judges people the same exact way. You will see the same punishment from God, with humans once again wanting to jump into rock to escape him. Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 5. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, and just see how it's described here. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For the Lord has rejected his people, the descendants of Jacob, because they have filled their land with practices from the east and with sorcerers, as the Philistines do. They have made alliances with gold, with pagans. Israel is full of silver and gold. There is no end to its treasures. Their land is full of war horses. There is no end to its chariots. Their land is full of idols. The people worship things they have made with their own hands. So now they will be humbled, and all will be brought low. Do not forgive them. Crawl into caves in the rocks. Again, a whole different people, same punishment, same results. Crawl into caves in the rocks. Hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Human pride will be brought down, and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. Okay, as you carry on, skip to verse 18. Idols will completely disappear when the Lord rises to shake the earth. His enemies will crawl into holes in the ground. They will hide in caves in the rocks from the terror of the Lord and glory in the glory of his majesty. Verse 21, while they crawl away into caverns and hide among the jagged rocks. So verse 22, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? This is crazy to me as I read it. How did these people start to trust in the wrong rock? Jagged rock. Why did they go to jagged rock for safety? I can only imagine that when they ignored the rock of God, that I will talk about in detail later, all they were left were worldly rocks. All they had were caves. Worldly rocks that for a time looked like stable rocks. I think about this comparison. I suppose it would be like somebody who chose to build a brand new house on the coast in Pacifica. If you don't know, Pacifica is falling into the ocean. A bit every single year. It's like somebody who goes to Pacifica and says, well, looks stable to me. I think I built a brand new house here in Pacifica. Ignoring the warnings of all those who say, no, it's going to fall apart. It's falling into the ocean every year. Ignoring people who say, no, it might look good right now. It may have a wonderful view. But if you wait a bit, your house will go into the ocean. Or people who say, sir, your view will not last very long. Sir, if you live here, you may be high up for a time, but soon you will be in a ditch. And I think about how sin is the same exact way. We warn people against the sin. You may feel good right now. It may be a good idea for the moment, but your destiny will be in a ditch if you go in this direction. You give them warnings. You tell them. You may have a wonderful view. You may be the king of the world for a bit. But if you build your house right here, it's going to fall apart. And despite all these warnings, a person might say, I still want to build a brand new house in Pacifica right on the rocky coast. And with enough time, all they have are rocks and shambles. Look at the news. Houses are falling in every year. Perhaps if they still don't repent after that, they only had to hide in rocks and shambles. That's all they have left. Maybe that's why these people ended up being in rocks for hiding, because that's all they had left in life. They ignored warnings and all they have is rocks. If we still don't repent from our sins, we can only hide in our sins. I'll say it again. If we don't repent from our sins, we have to hide in our sins. We have to go deeper into our sins if we don't repent from them. But guess what? It won't work. Nobody can hide from God. But Revelation and Isaiah are talking about how the world works. I think we all know people who are choosing to hide in their sins. As miserable as those sins are, they'd rather be miserable than repent to God. Maybe that is who we are today this morning. Maybe we are today, as we speak, hiding in our sins, hiding from God, when in reality, you cannot hide from God. The whole Pacifica analogy is not for me. Guess what? It's already in the Bible. Pacifica is already in the Bible. It's already a spiritual analogy Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Some of y'all know where I'm going. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Note that in both cases, there's a pre-warning. Don't build here, okay? Listen to my words. Don't do this. You have a chance to avoid this fate. And yet, those who ignore the word of God end up having this fate. Sand is pretty much flimsy rock that might look good, but is not good at all. So, let's talk about the rock that is God, that is good. The good rock, because there's also a good rock in the Bible. Psalm 18, 1 through 3. Psalm 18, 1 through 3. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, says David. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Look at verse 46 of the same chapter for the good rock that we want to be involved with. The Lord lives. Praise to my rock. Blessed be the rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 62. Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 through 8. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Oh man, people are just like that today, boy. Verse 4 is real, let me tell you right now. That's real. Verses 5 and 6, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. There is no rock that is good enough to protect us from God. There is no rock that is good enough to protect us from God. The only rock where we will feel safe, the capital R rock, is the capital R rock that is God. Not moving gravel, or jagged rock, or stones falling on top of us, but the rock of God is stable, true, a foundation upon which we can build. The Bible often uses the same analogies for God and Jesus. One reason why we say Jesus Christ is God and God is Jesus, because the Bible uses the same analogies for both people. For example, God is a rock. The Bible will also say Christ is a rock. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So now, you Gentiles, us, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone, the rock, is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles, that's us, are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So God is a rock. Christ is a rock. They're together the same. But you will also see another pattern in the Bible. You will see that God sounds like Jesus Jesus sounds like God, but also Jesus wants us to sound like Jesus. Jesus wants us to sound like him. And so we also are called to be like rocks. One day, we're all to be one. God, his son, us, the dreamers, that we're all one together in heaven. So you would see the Bible say, be like Christ, that we also are to be like rocks. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6. We are also to be stable. We're also to be holy, dependable, security. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. We know that already. He was rejected by the people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones. That's us. You are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for a great honor, and anyone who trusts him will never be disgraced. God's a rock. Christ's a rock. We are called to be rocks. Ultimately, God wants us to be indistinguishable. We're all together, one in heaven. So you see the same analogies for all of us. May we all be part of the rock that is Jesus, copying him in every way. May we not trip over Jesus. May he not be a stumbling stone for us. You know the expression, I ain't tripping over that. We say, I ain't tripping over that one. May you not trip over Jesus. This is actually biblical as well. It's not merely an expression. Don't trip over the Lord. 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. May he be a blessing for us. May we not trip over him. Yes, you must trust him, it says. 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. Yes, you must trust him. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, I want to clarify, Christ will either be our ally or a problem for us. He will either be a rock of comfort for us, or we'll be running away, jumping into jagged rocks from him. There's no in-between. There may be a grace period where you think there's an in-between, but one day, you've got to choose between Christ being our comfort stone or the stone that we trip over. Choose this day which rock you want to follow. Verse 7, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, and he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. Which rock do you choose? One more time, God's wrath is exactly the same. God's blessings are the same for all people as well. Rome had a wrath. Israel, late Israel, had the same wrath. Now, another people I want to show you right now, early Israel, had the same wrath. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. How much do I want to read with this? I'm kind of early still. Got some time. Don't give a preacher time, man. He'll use that time. Y'all, Brother Chen gave me a lot of time this morning. Thank you, brother. Great lesson, by the way, Brother Chen. Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 18. Look at what it says. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Let my teaching fall on you like rain. Let my speech settle like dew. Let my words fall like rain on tender grass, like gentle showers on young plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. But they have acted corruptly toward him. When they act so perversely, are they really his children? They are deceitful and twisted generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father who created you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders, and they will tell you. Would the Most High God assign land to the nations? When he divided up the human race, he established the borders of people according to the numbers in his heavenly court. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob, his special possession, he found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes, like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young. So he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods. He let them ride over the highlands and feast on the crops of the fields. He nourished them with the honey from the rock and olive oil from the stony ground. He fed them yogurt from their herd and milk from the flock, together with the fat of lambs. He gave them choice rams from Bashan and goats, together with the choicest wheat. You drank the finest wine, made from the juice of grapes. But Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed. Then they abandoned the God who had made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation. They stirred up his jealousy by worshiping foreign gods. They provoked his fury with detestable deeds. They offered sacrifices to demons, which are not God, to gods they had not known before, to new gods only recently arrived, to gods their ancestors had never feared. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. May that not be us, ever. Verse 28 to 31, as you come to a close. But Israel is a senseless nation. The people are foolish without understanding. Oh, that they were wise and could understand this. Oh, that they might know their fate. How could one person chase 1,000 of them, and two people put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? But the rock, remember people, the rock of our enemies is not like our rock, as even they recognize. There's only one rock. There's a variety of rocks out there, but only one rock that can save. And that fake, flimsy, worldly rock is not like our rock. Which rock do you choose this morning? Please choose Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Believe in him, if it's time to believe in him this morning. Repent towards him, if you've got to repent this morning. Be baptized in the name of Jesus today, if today you have to be baptized. Stay faithful to Christ this morning, if you have to be faithful today. One last verse, Daniel 2, 35. Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Be part of this rock, I ask. The whole statue of worldly empires, of worldly rocks and stone, this whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold, worldly things, worldly rocks. And the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on a threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down, the kingdom of God, became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. Verse 44, be part of this rock this morning. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountains, not from human hands. This kingdom is from the Lord, not from human kingdoms. It's not a human hand that crushed to pieces the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain. Please be part of this rock as we stand and sing.